Can you believe this mess? For over 20 years, Black women have been 6 times more likely to get killed than white women. And it's not just a few isolated cases either. There's a whole study on it, and they're blaming it on structural social inequities. Like, do they even know what that means? Basically, it means the system is rigged against us from the start. And it ain't just some small increase we're talking about here. According to this new analysis, the homicide rate for Black women between 25 and 44 years old jumped up by 73% between 2014 and 2020. That's all in just 6 short years. Like, come on now, let's break it down even further. Over 31,600 homicides of women were looked at for this study across 30 states. And guess what? We are still getting killed at a way higher rate than white women in every state they examined. But wait, hold up, it gets even worse. The Midwest has the highest disparity of all the regions, with Black women being 7 times more likely to be killed compared to white women in just 1 year. I mean, what kind of twisted world are we living in? But as soon as I read all these stats, I couldn't help but ask myself, okay, yeah, there's numbers showing how many Black women are dying at the hands of whoever is doing the killing, but like, is there a number showing how many of those killers are white men? And then I came across these 2 stories out of Columbus and Milwaukee. It's almost too much to bear. One woman named Lolita Hall, only 61 years old, mind you, was taken away from her family in such a senseless way. And then there's Sade Robinson. She was only 19. What did she even get to experience in life before it was brutally taken away from her? It's just heartbreaking. And it needs to stop. We need justice for these women, and we need change in this world so that Black women aren't constantly living in fear of becoming another statistic. Welcome to No Tears for Black Girls, crafted by renowned writer John Reedberg and brought to life by the talented Samantha Paul. Listen in, subscribe, or tap in on the Alive podcast app for exclusive content. Have a case or topic you want us to delve into? Head to our website, notearsforblackgirls.com, or send us an email at notearsforblackgirls@gmail.com. Lolita Hall, a 61-year-old native of Columbus, Ohio, was a woman of endless abilities. From a young age, her love for plants bloomed into a full-fledged passion, leading her to pursue horticulture at Ohio State University. But she didn't stop there. She took on various jobs like working at a tax agency, launching her own janitorial business, and even driving for Uber. No task was too big or small for Lolita, as she constantly sought ways to improve herself and bring in some extra cash. Little did she know that signing up for Uber would lead to her tragic demise. The obituary of this vibrant and accomplished woman highlights the close bond she shared with her sisters, Melissa and Marquita, who often embarked on thrilling escapades and shared heartfelt conversations with their dear sibling. They learned so much from her over the years. Besides tending to her garden, Lolita had another fervor: driving. On March 25th, 2024, she received a ride request through Uber to pick up a package at a residence in Clark County, Ohio. However, little did she know that this would be her final journey. The homeowner, an elderly man named William Brock, had recently fallen victim to a deceptive phone call from someone posing as a courthouse official. And unfortunately, Lolita's arrival at his home would end in tragedy. Mr. Brock had been conned into thinking his relative was in custody and needed a large sum of cash for release. Lieutenant Christopher Schultz of the Clark County Sheriff's Office released a statement about the incident, but it offered no consolation for Mr. Brock's distress. To make matters worse, the scammer had the audacity to order an Uber driver, Lolita Hall, to come to Brock's residence in South Charleston, Ohio, which was an hour away from Dayton. As you can imagine, poor Ms. Hall had no idea what danger awaited her upon arrival. Lolita arrived at the designated address, expecting a simple transaction, but as she approached the door, it flew open with a bang, revealing Mr. William Brock in a fit of rage, a gun pointed straight at her. He accused her of absurdities and forcefully snatched her phone from her grasp before chasing her into the driveway. The situation quickly devolved as the 81-year-old's paranoia took over and he fired 3 bullets at Lolita. The tragic story unfolds before us, does it not? A diligent black woman simply trying to earn a decent wage, silenced by the warped delusions of an aging white man. One can't help but wonder, could race have played a role in this senseless act? In response to the tragic events, Uber has swiftly banned the account used to summon Lolita to Brock's home and is cooperating fully with authorities in their investigation. The company has also reached out to Lolita's heartbroken family, extending their deepest condolences. Yet even this cannot erase the fact that William Brock is ultimately responsible for this heinous crime. Now facing charges of murder, assault, and kidnapping, he may very well spend the rest of his days rotting behind bars, and rightfully so.
The new search for remains and the killing of a 19-year-old Milwaukee woman. Prosecutors have charged Maxwell Anderson with homicide, mutilation, and arson in the death of 19-year-old Sade Robinson.
Sade Robinson was a shining light in her community, beloved by all who knew her. The 19-year-old had big dreams of pursuing a career in criminal justice after graduating from Milwaukee Area Technical College. Her family set up a GoFundMe page to honor her memory and give her a dignified farewell as they struggled to come to terms with the sudden loss of their daughter, sister, and friend. Her former boss shared that Sade was a social butterfly, always brightening up the workplace with her outgoing nature and friendly conversations. She was known for never missing work, so when she didn't show up for her shift at the local pizza restaurant on April 1st, her coworkers were immediately concerned. The day before she disappeared, Sade had plans for a date with 33-year-old Maxwell Anderson. She texted a friend saying they were going to get seafood, and the two were seen together at a nearby seafood spot where Anderson used to work. The next day, Sade failed to show up for work, and attempts to reach her went unanswered. Worried about her safety, her coworkers closed the pizza shop for 3 days to focus on finding her. Police were also called in for a welfare check on her apartment, but she was nowhere to be found. As news of Sade's disappearance spread throughout the community, efforts to find her intensified. Despite being originally from Mississippi, the community banded together in search of their missing neighbor and friend. A sense of community anguish over this unspeakable tragedy permeates the air. Dee Dee David, one of the many volunteers helping in the search for missing young woman Sade Robinson, fervently expresses her support. "I don't know the family, but I want to make sure they know they are loved and supported by the community. I hope more people will join us in searching for Sade." However, as more details surrounding Sade's disappearance begin to surface, a chilling truth becomes apparent. Sade's 2020 Honda Civic was found burned beyond recognition the morning after her date with David Anderson, a man who had now been charged with her murder. Despite the extreme fire damage, detectives were able to find remnants of Sade's belongings within the wreckage. Thanks to a location-sharing app on her phone, authorities were able to trace her last known whereabouts before she vanished, from the seafood restaurant where she had dinner with Anderson to a nearby sports bar, then back to Anderson's home, and finally Warnemont Park. It was there that police would tragically discover more remains belonging to Sade. As the investigation continued, even more grisly evidence emerged. A human leg was found on a nearby beach, appearing to have been violently removed at the hip. Forensics experts confirmed it belonged to a black woman approximately 5 feet tall, matching Sade's description. And when officers searched the area where Sade's car was found, they made another gruesome discovery: a human foot and what appeared to be human flesh. All signs pointed towards one conclusion. This was Sade's body. With overwhelming evidence, including surveillance footage, phone records, and witness statements, David Anderson has been charged with first-degree homicide, mutilating a corpse, and arson, facing potential life imprisonment if convicted. The facts mentioned in this complaint cause complainant to conclude that the defendant intentionally killed and then dismembered Robinson with the intent to conceal the homicide, states a criminal complaint in the case. However, Anderson's attorney maintains his client's innocence, stating, "We will vigorously fight this matter in court." Sade's mother, Sheena Scarborough, has expressed relief at Anderson's arrest, calling it justice for Sade. But authorities are still investigating whether Anderson may have other victims in his past. The tragic and senseless loss of one young woman has now sparked fear and concern for others who may have fallen victim to this seemingly remorseless killer.
I never expected this to pull up on my front door.
An unimaginable couple of weeks for Sade Robinson's mother, Sheena Scarborough.
This isn't normal. This is a 2024 Jeffrey Dahmer.
A comparison many are making as Sade's body parts keep turning up across Milwaukee County.
The last time I spoke to my daughter was on Easter Sunday, okay? We seen her. She came by my parents' home. We spent the Sunday together.
The next day, on April 1st, is when Sade was first reported missing. It's also the night we now know she was killed.
Sade was a beautiful soul. She was an amazing girl. I couldn't have asked for any better daughter. There was things my daughter did that many adults were not even able to accomplish in their lifetimes.
Sade was set to graduate with her associate's degree next month.
This has caused so much emotional effect to my family, my parents, who love my baby so much, her grandparents, her uncles, her aunties, the community. Everyone has pulled up. This has affected many people in Milwaukee.
Over the last several weeks, friends and family of Sade have spent countless hours searching for her body to give her the proper burial she deserves.
They messed with the wrong family. We're going to call all of them out and we're going to speak for the whole community. Because I'm not about to sit down and I'm not about to sit still on this one. It's justice for Sade, Nancy. It's justice.
Y'all know what y'all looking for?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to warn you.
Grit and determination through grief. Another day of searching for Sade Robinson's remains and searching for closure for her family.
I think everybody's just overwhelmed.
Tracking through water and mud, Robinson's cousin sits in Warnemont Park after searching all day, too exhausted to go on camera.
It's just tiring because we're not getting anywhere. But our family needs peace and we need closure, so I don't want to stop.
A group of about 20, they're searching places mentioned in the criminal complaint of Robinson's suspected killer, Maxwell Anderson. Accused of scattering her body parts across Milwaukee County.
The search party spent most of Saturday looking here in Warnemont Park. People we spoke to say they came out to help search, to try to bring peace to Robinson's family.
It was really hard terrain and you kind of have to be a madman to do it well.
This is Robinson's friend Josh.
Like, I felt compelled to do that. I owed that to her.
The pair met at Pizza Shuttle, where Robinson worked.
She was gorgeous and her smile could like brighten anyone's day, and she just had that personality where she could cheer you up.
The group is still learning how to organize a widespread search party, and they're doing it with little help.
I've never been part of a search or anything like this before.
People want to get on the water because obviously she might be in the water and we don't have the resources.
In Warnemont Park, Emily Pofall, WISN 12 News.
The Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office telling 12 News tonight all known locations have been searched multiple times, also saying the search is ongoing as they continue to identify possible new locations through investigation. And the man charged with killing Robinson is on your screen, Maxwell Anderson. He's in jail tonight on a $5 million bond. He is expected back in court later this month.
Thank you for tuning in to No Tears for Black Girls, now a part of the Alive Podcast Network, the first Black female-owned and operated network dedicated to amplifying Black voices. If you enjoyed this episode, please show your support by following us on the Alive Podcast app, available on both iPhone and Android. You can also stay connected with us on social media and YouTube at No Tears for Black Girls, or on X at No Tears for BG. Remember to stay loved, stay blessed, and stay safe. Until next time.